Hello, this is Jermaine Griggs from Sticky Marketer and NittyGrittyMarketing.com, and welcome to my Hold You By The Hand 4-week online training program. You've made it to week number 3. I'm so excited because you've been through week 1, you understand the concepts and the basics, and in week 2 you learned how to build it, how to integrate it, and this week it's all about traffic, it's all about growing your community. And you know what, you might as well fill in the blank, because the techniques I'm going to show you are not just about growing a community, but a site in general. And the fact that you have the community and the user engagement and the viral components of your community makes it that much better. So get your seatbelt on. I'm going to take you through tons of strategies, tons of tactics, tons of services that I use, low, free, no cost services. And in the next weeks or so, you should be up and running with tons of traffic coming to your site using some of these strategies that I'm going to reveal to you. So without further delay, let's get started. Now, what I want to talk about here is Web 2.0 strategies to grow your site. I'm going to begin with this, and I'll start a little basic by defining what I mean by Web 2.0. Now, Tim O'Reilly from O'Reilly Media defined it a couple of years ago. He said Web 2.0 basically means a perceived second generation of web-based communities and hosted services that facilitate collaboration and sharing between users. And I've talked about this a lot. Whereas in the past, where the web was this one-way communication and place for people to come and get information, and it was a sense of webmasters and users, and webmasters always sent the messages to users, posted the information to users. Users were the recipients. They received the information. That's how it's been in the past. But with Web 2.0 and where the web has grown, notice second generation, which suggests that there has been a first. There has been a Web 1.0. So this is an evolution, right? To a second generation, these are the grandkids or the kids, if you will. And here, these sites, it's all about collaboration. It's all about sharing between users, and the webmasters are now the facilitators of this sharing, bringing these people together. And like I said, the synergy that's created by bringing these people together helps to grow the site. Now, we're going to be talking about tons of strategies and traffic devices and ways and places you can go to advertise to bring the people in, that first initial group of folks. And then it's my guess, it's my strong confidence that the users will grow your site from there if you really have Web 2.0 down and the concepts and the techniques that Web 2.0 sites use. And you can go to O'Reilly to get more information about the definition, but I'll give you some examples here. Web 2.0, he says, is an improved version of the web. Changes the way we use the web as a platform. In other words, and this is my opinion, that there'll come a time where you won't even need your personal computer. There won't be a sense of a regular computer, because everything you need, like applications like Windows or Microsoft Office, some of the things you use on your computer that aren't necessarily associated with the web and have been here before the web, all of those things will be on the web. Notice, you can upload photos now. You can print photos from the web. You can even, there's word processing Web 2.0 sites where you can actually process a document and print it and save it online, share with people. You can edit people's papers online, research projects. The kids are using them. So it's a change in the way we use the web, from kind of this info source to a place where we can actually do things. Applications can be ran, executed, created, all on the web, whereas your hard drive in the future will probably just all be virtual. You can access your computer on the web. And like I said, we're actually using the computer as we'd use a computer. You have emergence of things like social networking sites. Unless you've been living under a rock, everybody knows MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, wikis. These are websites that allow users to add, edit, change content. So you have the emergence of things like Wikipedia, which is an encyclopedia created by the people. It's not managed by one particular person. It's not a college or an organization that has dominance over it. You know, there's no sense of that. It's the users that create the content, add to it. So if I start, you know, an encyclopedia entry on whatever topic, you know, other people around the world have the opportunity to add to that topic, take away things, vote on things, challenge people's opinions of certain things. So that's what we mean by this Web 2.0 collaboration. Folksonomies and tagging. Now, folksonomy is a play off the word taxonomy, which is basically classifying things. You know, I didn't do great in science, but I know there was these major classifications for certain kinds of animals and certain kinds of reptiles, you know, these big old fancy words. I can't remember any of them. And so online, well, people categorize and store information like bookmarks, their favorite places. And we call these folksonomies because they put them online. They make them available for all the other millions of users to see. And this synergy and this collective storing and categorizing and managing of information creates these big old sites where you can go to and just see what people are doing. 47things.com, delicious.com, people's favorite places, favorite sites, things like this, Flickr, photos. And so, you know, people now, there's a sense of, hey, upload content, put tags behind it, like what the content is about, whether it's a photo, whether it's your favorite article, whether it's a favorite site. And the more people that tag certain pieces of content with the same keywords, those keywords get bigger. And I'll talk about that. So you can literally go to a site, not only see what's popular among the people because it's voted, it's managed, it's classified by the people, and what's not so popular, but then you can also click, see all the sites, the information associated with that, and view other people's bookmarks and information, their photos, whatever the content of that site. Some sites specialize in photos. Other sites specialize in online bookmarks. Some sites specialize in articles and news stories. So, but the idea of folksonomy and tagging is pretty much the same. Web-hosted applications. Now you can go on sites like Basecamp, and you can actually put a document in. I can edit a document online, give it to one of my employees or colleagues. They can come in, edit my work, create a new version of it. I can go through, compare version A of my work to version B, literally right there in front of my screen with the words crossed out and the new words replaced, just like I can do in Microsoft Word, but it's all online. So Web 2.0 includes that. Web-hosted applications, blogs, of course, which is a spinoff of the two separate words, web, log, and you get sites like Blogger. In fact, Technorati has indexed over 71 million blogs, just to give you an idea. So this isn't some fly-by-night kind of thing. Because Web 2.0 gives users control, I'm talking about common folks. It's amazing to me that anybody in a matter of seconds can go record a video on their phone. That's how they got Kobe Bryant on some of that stuff he was saying about his team, one of the Lakers. Record content on their phone, because most phones record video, put a memory card in, transfer it to the computer, and have it on YouTube in less than 10 minutes. We went to a Beyonce concert. She fell off the stage. Yes, she did. Probably hundreds of people in the audience who just happened to be recording on their cell phones, happy to be in such a concert, had it on YouTube the next day. That's the power. So blogs, some of these social networking sites, it allows common users, not webmasters, not people with HTML training, not people with formal computer training, anybody, millions, kids, 8-year-olds, I mean, to all the way to 80-year-olds are online, and they're sharing information, they're opening up their lives, they're communicating with other people, and this creates a whole new era. That's why we can't call it Web 1.0. It's a new generation. It's a new time. The web has evolved, and people that are trying to treat it, you know, Web 1.0, it's not to say you won't be successful. There's plenty of direct response sites, and you've probably heard the death of this, certain marketers, the death of this, the death of that. You know, I don't give into the hype, but I will say that the web has evolved, and those that can keep up and stay on the cutting edge can take advantage. You know, when you have common people, you know, putting up videos and becoming famous, these aren't marketing people. These aren't people like us who study. These are common users playing the guitar, recording themselves, and getting famous, getting record deals. Now, when common people can do this in such a peer-to-peer era that has evolved, then imagine the power you have knowing what you're doing. Other things, Web 2.0, social bookmarking. I talked about that a little bit, and we'll get into it in depth. This is ways for internet users to store, classify, share internet bookmarks. Some that come to mind, some services, delicious.com, Reddit, Dig. These are social news sites as well. like Dig are hybrids where they're like bookmarking social news, you know, so if I find a story I like, I can dig it, and if other people dig it and not bury it, if they don't like it, it goes to the front page, and there's some particular implications there for you if you publish content. Podcasting is a part of this whole Web 2.0, basically the syndication of digital media files. You create files, you put them in, you create a podcast, and now the whole world can listen, syndicate, put them on their iPods, listen to them in RSS readers, things like that. RSS feeds, and this is getting a little technical, and I'll talk about this, but basically a family of web feed formats used to publish updated digital content. So instead of using email, and this may even surpass email one day, especially because of all the spam issues and some of the email technicalities and misfortunes that us marketers have been experiencing of late, but RSS, people subscribe to your RSS feed of your blog or your site or what have you, and because, you know, whether they're using Google, like Google has a blog reader, RSS reader, or feed reader, or whatever their favorite program is, basically when I publish new content, it automatically tells that visitor, you know, if they're using feed reader, it pops up a little bubble in the lower right hand corner and says, Jermaine has published a new blog note, click here. So, you know, I have my own feed reader, and I'm subscribed to dozens of blogs, you know, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, maybe Donald Trump's blog, or, you know, whenever they publish content, I don't have to wait for notifications via email. My RSS reader automatically picks it up. So you being on the other end of that is very powerful. Ajax, this is a more design aspect of Web 2.0. Easy audio and video, obviously YouTube, Google Video, MySpace Video. So all of these are part of Web 2.0, and here's an image. It's a mind map, basically, of Web 2.0 with some of the bigger things, participation being one of the big ones, Folksonomy, wikis, we talked about that, usability, Ajax, what I just said, has a lot to do with that, making things easier. Notice the fonts are a lot bigger, design, standardization, video, obviously, audio, recommendation, people passing things on, video casting, all of these are part of Web 2.0. And just to give you an idea of how the web has evolved and where you fit in, here's some of the Web 1.0 services and compare them with the Web 2.0. See, it was all about DoubleClick. Now it's all about Google AdSense. Okay, OPhoto, now it's all about Flickr, sharing, uploading photos. Was about MP3, now it's about Napster. Britannica Online, Web 1.0, Wikipedia, Web 2.0. Personal websites, Web 1.0, you kind of needed some kind of skill to put them up in the best. Blogging, being able to put it up easy, Web 2.0. Evite versus upcoming.org. Page views versus pay-per-click, cost per click. Publishing versus participation, directories versus tagging, Folksonomy. So that gives you both sides of the equation. So Web 2.0, if you want to know what does it have to do with stickiness, Web 2.0 is stickiness. Everything about Web 2.0 defines stickiness, RSS feeds, usability, giving people reasons to come back to see new content, viral marketing through the passing on of video clips and things like that. So Web 2.0 means stickiness. And one last thing on Web 1.0 versus Web 2.0. Web 1.0, webmasters have control. Web 2.0, simply put, users have control. And using each other to search for information. So this is a big thing. Not only do they have control, but them combined together can almost, and some people think, will replace Google, as I soon talk about. Okay, so let's start this series of traffic generation techniques using Web 2.0 and how to grow our communities and our sites by talking about social bookmarking. So the first step, social bookmarking is simply a way for users to store, classify, search, and share bookmarks online. And the idea is when tons of people get together, bookmark their favorite pages, just like you would normally do on your computer, but now you're doing it online through various bookmarking services of their choice. And so when tons of people get together, bookmark their favorite pages and apply certain tags, their descriptive tags, they describe basically what it is they're bookmarking so that they can remember it. and they apply these tags to each bookmark, certain websites will rise to the top as being more popular or more used by the people and therefore perceived to be more valuable. So let me just make sure you understand this, that it's a shift from using your computer or Internet Explorer or Firefox to bookmark things. And from a user standpoint, now they're using delicious.com or reddit.com or sites like that, furl.com, to bookmark their favorite places online. So now they can access them anywhere. They can access them at college, at home, at work. It's not just based on a computer. That's what we mean by using the web. Also, like we use a personal computer. And now they're kind of opening up what they do to the world. Okay. I've gone to many blogs where they say, hey, check out my, my delicious.com bookmark section on motivation. And I can go see all the sites that particular user who I look up to maybe or enjoy reading. I can see all their bookmarks that they've tagged. You know, maybe they call this one, long-term motivation or inspiration or how to give yourself a kick in the butt, you know, and I can search through their tags and things like that. Now, the thing is, tagging allows users to see what sites are popular using the terminology of real people. Because, hey, if I find a site on bird training and my tags are cool bird training site or how to train parrots or making parrots obey or whatnot, those tags are now going to be put in these social bookmarking sites. So when other people go to that same site maybe or use similar tags, now certain tags start rising as being more popular because if everybody's using bird training as a tag, okay, and they're all pointing to this particular bookmark, you can see the power of that. It not only tells you what sites are popular, but it tells you what's popular in general, because the bigger, and I'll give you some examples soon, the bigger the words that show up in these social bookmarking sites, the more people that are bookmarking, the more people that are classifying and categorizing that particular piece of content or that site. Okay. Now where you come in, you're on the other side of it. Now you, just by my explanation, you might be like, wow, I'm really digging this social bookmarking thing. I think I'm going to go join Delicious on one of those sites. That's fine. But your traffic comes from being the one on the other side, being the site people want to bookmark and tag and put in these social bookmarking arenas or whatnot, if you will. And you need to make it easy for them to do it. And this is what we're going to talk about right now. So some people actually think that social bookmarking could soon be better than search engines. And the reason why, because it adds a human touch. I mean, yeah, search engines, you have algorithms, and Google's done an amazing job at, you know, making sure when people search for things in their search engine, they get reliable, they get good information, they get it now, they get it right away. They're in the search engine business. That's what they do. But some people think that social bookmarking could even surpass that because it allows users to find websites through the recommendation of people who have the same interests and are viewing the same kinds of sites as them. So number one, it's way faster because you don't have to wait, you know, just face it. I have a solution to the world, but all these people that need my solution have to wait on Google and algorithm and them spidering my site and Google Sandbox, all this kind of technical stuff. When if just one user found my site, tagged it, put it in their favorite social bookmarking sites, other users started finding and started tagging, I mean, it can rise to popularity within days, sometimes within hours on certain sites like dig.com. So it's faster for the people. It's more accurate than a bot can ever be because it's voted on. Whatever rises to the top is voted on by the people. And yeah, you have some people that try to manipulate the system, but for the most part, just like Wikipedia, which stays strong with very, you know, good information. Some professors, of course, will say, don't go to Wikipedia because it's made by the people. But for the most part, the people keep it going. The people keep it clean. The people keep it active. And so approximately 28% of internet users have tagged online content. And so that while that's great, it still hasn't become commonplace. So there's still a lot of room for improvement. There'll be a time where everybody's doing it. It'll be commonplace. So you still have time to actually learn this and start being the one on the other end where people are bookmarking your site and your site is rising in the listings. And another statistic I got from Pew Internet and American Life Project, on a daily basis, 7% of users are tagging and categorizing content. So there's a lot of room for improvement, but it tells you there are people doing it, and millions of people. So how can you take advantage of social bookmarking? Number one, you can have unique, and you need this, unique, relevant, and valuable content Or if you don't have written or some kind of content in whatever modality, written, audio, visual, you can have some kind of a tool that is extremely helpful to your users, something that they would naturally bookmark. For us, we have, and maybe I'll give you an example here. This is our virtual piano chord finder, and pretty much it allows people to find any chord. If you want to find a C major chord, click C, go major, bam, there you go. Okay, that's an example of a cool little tool. It's free, right? Virtual piano chord finder, but we allow them to bookmark it. And I'll talk about this little gadget here, because they click on it, and now, and this popped up here, they can choose their favorite bookmarking service, see, to bookmark it. They click Delicious, and then from that point on, they can put in their username, because they're a member of Delicious. That's where they keep up with their other bookmarks. They can tag that, like, find piano chords, chord finder, or whatever they're going to tag it with, and now it joins the directory, voted on by the people. If other people do that same thing and use remotely close tags and identical tags to that other user, okay, now it starts getting bigger, more popular, growing, shows at the top. So that's an example of a cool tool I'm talking about. So find that in your niche. Is it a calculator, or is it a some kind of converter? Is it some kind of, you know, quick little tool that'll help them find something, or a little search box, or, you know, what have you? And if you can't find a tool, you can always fall back on just great content, all your articles. Articles, newsletters, things like that. You add this little button and have people, you know, give people the opportunity to bookmark it very easily. And I'll talk about how you can do that on my next slide. Use widgets and services like atthis.com to make it easy for users to bookmark your site. At that example I showed you, this is straight off of atthis.com, and it's very easy. So you can simply go to atthis.com, and I'll click there now, and notice it's very easy, simple, recognizable widgets to help your visitors save and promote your website or blog to the social bookmarking and feed reader services. So you basically sign up for free, and you put this button on your site or on your blog, and I'll talk about how to do it on blog soon, either one of these buttons, and people simply click and they can add. And the good thing is that there's just a small piece of code, but it takes whatever the page title of that page, so make sure your pages aren't like untitled, because some people have pages out there. Make sure they're correct titles. Like on mine's, when you click on bookmark this site, and let me drag it here, see, notice it automatically says learn piano chords fast, free piano chord finder tool at hearandplay.com. So that's what it's going to be bookmarked under in whatever social network site they choose here. I hope you understand that. Now, this said untitled or something that had no, you know, relation to what I'm offering here. You can see how that might be a problem. But it's cool. You put this little piece of code. It's like a 3-line code. And now people can automatically easily bookmark you. And you can even use their WordPress plugin, like I just mentioned. Notice here, it automatically adds it to every post. So if you have a blog, you have dozens and dozens of posts, you can put in your template, and there is a plugin where automatically when you create a new post, it'll add this, and it'll title it by, you know, I can choose Delicious or whatever my favorite bookmarking service is. And, you know, and it'll basically allow me to save it as a bookmark, and it'll use the title of your particular blog note. So that's very cool too. And the more people that bookmark you, the more popular you get. It's that simple. So if you're just in a hot niche that is just popular in general, the tags are already huge when you go to Delicious. Like, it's always like weight loss. You see that. Those are huge on the social bookmarking sites and 47things.com and things like that. You know, generally the mass market kind of stuff is always huge. But then there's these other things that are medium sized that for your niches, just enough people searching and interested in it. I mean, tons of people to give you a lot of traffic coming to your community or coming to your website. So here's an example. Use this, the atthis.com's widget, to make it easy for people to bookmark you. I already showed you that. Use it on your blog. I showed you an example of that. And with your community, dynamically place the atthis.com widget on every page of your community in 5 seconds using global headers and footers. Now, most communities, whether you're using PostNuke as a CMS or Drupal or Joomla, all of them are the same, as my programmer talked about in our teleseminar. Generally, you know, there's some things under the hood, if you will, but on the outer, you know, you add content, they have community building modules, and certain things work for you better than other things, and they're open source or whatnot. So most of them have the ability to change a global header, so whatever's up here on the site, and then a footer. You go to this, you know, section in admin or whatnot, and you just add code. So if I wanted to add copyright down here, I can do that. Well, I was just messing around, and I'm sure this is for programmers, but for me, this was like milestone. I was just messing around. I said, what happens if I put this little bookmark thing just in that code? I wonder if it will remember each page, because that's a big thing. It can't just, you know, if they're at one article, it just can't say thezone.com, because that, you know, I thought maybe it would only pick the title of just my main site, because I'm only putting it one place and not putting it on 50,000 pages. Now, keep in mind, my zone is hundreds of thousands of pages, because everybody has their own profile. Everybody has their own blog. Everybody has their own group, you know, if they've made one. So go figure how many times this shows up. But you know what? It put unique titles depending on whatever page they're on. So that was great for me. Let me actually give you an example. So I'm at my form, and notice this particular topic is called sus chords. What are they, and where do they go? So this is a particular kind of music terminology, right? And people are talking about it or whatnot. And then at the bottom, now I can even actually do better with this and have my programmer put the bookmark, you know, just where these are, which is profile, private message, a member, or whatnot. I can have maybe the bookmarks every time that shows. Maybe that's overkill. That's something to be tested. But for now, I've educated my members, and they know they can bookmark any page at the bottom. You can also try it at the top, maybe right here, something I could test. But the idea is they click the bookmark, and it opened over here. And notice, here in Play Zone, view topic, sus chords. What are they, and where do they go? So if they click that and bookmark with their favorite service or whatnot, that becomes the title. So now a page that, you know, I never had any intentions of it virally growing or going out there, which is a page created by my members anyway. Notice you don't see my name in this. I probably need to be in each of my topics more often, but because of time constraints, sometimes I'm not. But this is created by the members, is my point. And now because one person says, let me bookmark it, and then maybe another one, and then they say, this was a great article on sus chords. Maybe that's one of their tags, sus chords, or this particular chord. So now when people go to Delicious and they're like, I wonder what sites people have bookmarked on sus chords, or whatever the niche word is in your market, minds will come up, because maybe there's not a lot of competition. Maybe it's something particular, and it'll link them to this particular forum post. Now, if I tell all my members, hey, go to this particular page, I need all you guys to bookmark it. I mean, I can probably have hundreds of bookmarks out there. So you can see the idea, and you know, you need to educate your members. Sometimes your subscribers, tell them, bookmark me. I don't know if you guys are using Delicious or Reddit or Furl or whatever you're using, but bookmark me, and there's an easy button that you can click anytime you find something helpful. And even educate them on the benefits of using social bookmarking. As I said, it'll be something that's very commonplace. And it is now. It is now. You know, a lot of people are using it. Generally the younger crew, more technologically sound people. But it will be commonplace. Delicious.com, hardly nobody knew of them in probably 2003, 2004. And they've shot up. I think they're Lexa's top 200 sites in the world. So let me go back. And so that's how I added it to every page of my community, and it automatically uses the title of that page. So just to recap, if a user likes a page they've come across, presses bookmark, they see this, which you've seen it, you've seen a lot of this, the page goes there, and so if they're a member of Delicious, if that's their preferred social bookmarking site to use, they click there. If they're Digit, Reddit, StumbleUpon, Ask, Facebook has one, Google Bookmarks, Live Bookmarks, Microsoft, Linkagogo, Magnolia. So these are some of the common bookmarking sites, okay? And you even want to probably join some of these and start bookmarking your own site. Now, let really the users do it, because that's kind of frowned upon to do every, you know, bookmark your own site or go to Wikipedia and put your own name in there. But, you know, the users will naturally do it, or you can pay people to do it for you. Go through all your pages and get it started if they're not already being bookmarked by people. And you never know. You know, type your website name or some keywords in some of these common sites, and you may already see your site up there naturally being bookmarked by people because they like your site. and you haven't even made it easy yet for them to bookmark it. So that's something to keep in mind. Here's some examples. Delicious.com. It's Web 2.0. It takes the Craigslist approach. Very simple. No graphics, but people love it. 260 on Alexa. And, you know, here are top ones that have made the front page. And this is dynamic. This is constantly moving. I checked an hour ago, and, you know, some of the things that were on an hour ago are right here. But other things have been added that have become popular, or, you know, I guess what they would say, what's hot, the hot list, right? Okay, and then I can go and there's tags. I can learn about tags. You can read that section to get more information on folksonomies and things. Here's some tags to watch. I can click, you know, on certain things, medicine, and I can see, you know, particular sites that have been bookmarked related to that. I can look at related tags over here. I can view all tags. And, you know, there's a lot of things to do here. But the key thing, I want to type in like maybe piano lessons. Now, anytime you type in anything related to piano, I'm on the front page. And, you know, it's because certain people have bookmarked me and the quality of my site or whatnot. Okay, so on this page, here we are. Where are we? Oh, here we are, free online piano lessons. If I type in, you know, something like piano by ear. Here we are, free online piano lessons. And I can click that, takes them to hearandplay.com. So people have bookmarked me. Okay, and now I'll go to some of the other examples just to move it forward. Delicious.com, as you can see, you know, here's an example. And this is what I was looking for in my life. But here's an example of certain tags. They call this a tag cloud. And notice the bigger words are what's more popular just in general. Photography, web 2.0, web design, art. Okay. And then in within those are the sites that have come up to the top because they've been bookmarked and pretty much voted by the people. And certain tags they're using to describe it. So Delicious figures, well, if all of these different people are using similar tags to describe this site must be valuable to this sector of people. Furrow.com is another one. I'll click and give you a live example. You can create an account. You can share all your bookmarks, find websites others have furrowed. So all of them have their own little terminology. Furrowed is not an internet marketing word. It's the name of this site. It looks smart site. I can type, you know, piano lessons there and see what's up, or piano by ear, you know, and hear results for them. You'll find us here, and there are a lot of results. You'll find my competitors here. See 60 free piano lessons, hearandplay.com. I can type piano by ear. So, you know, these are people that are furling us. And we should be here as well. There we go. So, you know, it's just the power. When anytime they type in any of your search terms, you can be on that front page. You're doing well. And that's just free traffic. You're not paying for it. Reddit.com is another one.